kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think we're on the run. We are the boys who will stop your little game.
Listening to episode 5 of the Dad's Army podcast. Today is Saturday, the 21st of July 2007. Very shortly, I'll be joined by Tony, where we've got a number of items to discuss in the newsroom this week. We've also then got some feedback from our listeners that we'll read out and discuss. And lastly, rather than have the featured episode, which was to be Boots, Boots, Boot this week, we're going to have an interview with Paul Carpenter from the Dad's Army Appreciation Society. We're going to be holding over our discussion of Boots, Boots, Boots to a future podcast. So without any further ado, let's go to the newsroom and see what's new in the world of Dad's Army. I'm joined now by Tony. Hello, Tony. How you doing?
Hi, James. All's well, thank you. You alright?
Yep, not too bad. Oh, I've got a bit of a cold this morning, so if you can detect a husky voice, then it's not me trying to be deep and manly. It's just because I've got a snotty nose.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Okay, James, what's in the news this week?
We've got quite a bumper news bag this week. We've got a number of items to discuss. First of all, I'm just going to reiterate what we put in the very, very brief announcement last week. We've got Ed O'Driscoll returning to the show in a couple of weeks' time. Ed is the producer of the Dad's Army stage play that's going on tour, or it's beginning to tour the UK in September. And he's just coming on the show to give us a little bit of an update on how things are going. Hopefully we'll be able to ask him whether or not he's got any more news for us. And also is the opportunity for our listeners to ask questions of Ed. So if you have any questions about the stage production at all, then please send them in to us. Our email address is walmingtononc333@yahoo.co.uk, and we'll try and put all of your questions to Ed when he comes on shortly.
James, I believe you've got a bit more news on the casting of Fraser in the stage play.
Yes, indeed. Now, Ed actually did give us the name of the actor who was playing Fraser when we recorded our stage show special a few weeks ago. Problem was we couldn't make out the first name. The actor's surname was Faulkner, and the first name is Kern. It's K-E-R-N, who's a Scottish comic. He's reasonably well known. He's been in a number of episodes of Taggart. So we've now got casting details for all of the platoon, with the exception of Pike. That's good news.
I think you'd make quite a good Pike.
You think I'm... That's only because you think I'm a stupid boy. Okay, moving on to the other items in our newsroom, Tony.
Just Dad's Army on television, really. I mean, in recent history, we've had John LeMessurier, a whole 40-minute programme devoted to John LeMessurier. That was last Sunday.
It was a couple of weeks ago, I think. I think it was just after we recorded the last podcast again, so the day after.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago, yeah. Things That Go Bump in the Night's also been on television. That was Friday the 13th. That's all old news, obviously. If you missed it, you missed it. But on BBC 7, I've got a note here that Boots, Boots, Boots is on BBC 7. That's a radio a radio channel. It's a digital radio channel, but BBC 7... Boots, Boots, Boots will be on at either 8 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, or 7 p.m, so you can catch that then.
What day is that, Tony?
27th of July. What's that? What's today?
It's this coming Friday.
Yes, indeed. Yep.
It's good. I have to say, three things there. I mean, first of all, I like that you saw the unforgettable John LeMessurier, did you?
Missed it again.
Yeah, well, it's one thing I saw, and again, it was a repeat, but it was extremely interesting. It was a real insight into the actor's life, and they interviewed a number of individuals, members of his family, and both of his ex-wives, and they really provided an insight into how John LeMessurier was. And I have to say, it was actually really interesting, because I've never really knew much about the man. I knew him as Sergeant Wilson, and one thing I was left with at the end of the programme was that I think John LeMessurier more or less was Sergeant Wilson. Yes. People said he was a very calm man. He took absolutely everything within his stride, including some quite devastating things within his personal life. But I found that particularly interesting. And you mentioned also Things That Go Bump in the Night, that was broadcast. That was on the 13th, I think, last
yes.
Friday.
Yes.
That I think it was a replacement. It was actually advertised as The Recruit. So we expected The Recruit to come on, and then they put a different episode on.
I think Things That Go Bump in the Night is probably time for Friday the 13th, perhaps, because it's Things That Go Bump in the Night is like The Haunted House.
I think
Friday the 13th.
You may well have a point there. You may well have a point. And it was a little bit spooky. I mean, we haven't actually featured that episode as a central episode to one of our podcasts yet, but it is a spooky episode, or at least the first half of it is, before it descends into chaos. So maybe you're right. Maybe that's the reason why. And the BBC Seven plays, which is... you know, excellent. Is that a series, do you think, then, Tony, that they're putting on, or was this just something that you've spotted?
It looks like it. We've seen a few in a row now, so it does look like... I think we'll have to find out for the next podcast what they're actually planning on doing. Perhaps we can set ourselves a task there.
OK. So which episode did you say it was Boots, Boots, Boots this coming Friday?
Yes.
Which is typical, because that was to be our featured episode this podcast, which we've decided to hold over. So, and I believe they did put that light out last Friday.
Yeah, and it's a complete coincidence.
Which, of course, you, the listener, haven't heard our discussion on Put That Light Out yet. We recorded that earlier on during the week, and that will be on a future podcast. Any other news, Tony, or does that round us up for this week?
I think that's all from the news bag or the newsroom this week.
Indeed. Okay, well, what we'll do, we'll now move into discussing a little bit of feedback that we've received.
Do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think old England...
Now, we're always asking for you, the listener, to send in your comments, and we really welcome receiving some of your feedback. We've had a couple of messages over the last couple of weeks, Tony, so I'll read this out.
Please.
And feel free to comment. First one is from Paul Thurston, who's based in Melbourne in Australia, and he says, "Hi Tony and James, love the podcasts. In episode one, you talk about the episode Battle School and of Jones being called a crawler by Fraser. I am 99% certain that it's actually Private Walker who yells the remark. What do you think of that, Tony?" You're the script man.
I did think it was Fraser. I'm willing to stand corrected if it's not. I did sound like Fraser.
It did indeed, and I agreed with you, and I've since gone back and checked. And I have to say, Paul, you're 100% correct. It was definitely Walker. So we got our details wrong there. I checked when you hear it, it's very clearly James Beck's voice. And if you, again, watch it with the subtitles on... the subtitles come up in italics and it says Walker.
I'm so trying to save myself a bit here, but is it perhaps Fraser on the radio play?
Oh, that would be a good get out, wouldn't it? I reckon it is. Yes, let's say it is until someone else corrects us.
Okay.
Anyway, Paul goes on to say, it reminds me also of an episode, can't recall exactly which one, where the platoon are practicing the art of camouflage and are seen disguised as grey stones in rubbish bins, etc. And Captain Mannering comments several times, "Very sloppy," to which we hear a voice from the platoon respond, "Get knotted." If you
yes.
listen carefully, that's also Walker's voice. And
yes.
that definitely is Walker's
yep,
voice
no
in our question, yeah. And the episode you're referring to is The Lion Has Phones, I believe. Right at the very beginning of that episode, it's the opening scene. Paul then continues and says... Walker could be every bit as cheeky and outspoken as Private Fraser. And I agree with that. I think he could, but the two characters come from very different viewpoints, I think. They're driven by different motives, and Walker, his sole reason, I think, for making these quips is because he likes getting a joke in practically anywhere, just wherever
yes.
he can make people laugh, yeah. Whereas Fraser is always a little bit more Machiavellian. I mean, he'll make his funny comments and cheeky comments when he can make other people look bad. So he's got no problem in discrediting other members of the platoon, and then quite frequently has to eat humble pie. So, but yeah, I see where you're coming
yes.
from there, Paul. Love the discussion on the Three Bells pub. Wish I was there. I was actually born in Lowestoft, so know that area, although my family emigrated to Australia back in 1972 when I was 12. Yeah, I mean, it seems a long time ago now, Tony, when we were at the Six Bells pub.
Good day. Good day, that was.
It was.
So
really.
I was just trying to work out how old Paul was.
12
in 1972.
Well, there you are, Paul. You've probably never had your age analysed on a public forum like this before.
47.
Thanks, Tony. Let's hope he's not shy. but no, the pub itself was excellent, and I know that we mentioned it when we discussed Ringdown Bells, but it did feature far more heavily in Wake Up Warmington, the following series. So, as I said, we'll revisit the Six Bells at some point and hopefully have a bit more of a long conversation. Thanks ever so much, Paul, for sending in your email. As I said, comments are always welcome. And the email address. Tony, I'm always saying email address. Do you know what it is?
It's Warmington on Sea. what's your number, James?
It's Warmington on Sea 333@yahoo.co.uk.
Quite right.
We've also had another email from a chap called David Carey. Thanks ever so much for getting in touch, David. His email reads, I've recently come across your podcast on iTunes, and I have to say that I'm so happy that there is still such a warm reception towards Dad's Army today after all these years. As a 16-year-old, I thought I was old-fashioned towards my choice of programme, but I am surprised by how so many people still watch the programme. And I think it's a brilliant point. Dad's Army, or one of the appeals of Dad's Army, is its timeless quality.
Yeah, I know of children younger than that who really enjoy it as well. But good for him. Good for him. Yeah.
No, I think it's great, and it's a really good point you make there, David. So thanks ever so much for getting in touch.
Children. I'm sorry, I said children. A 16-year-old would not want to be called a child.
That's all right.
I apologise.
That's all right. Send your abuse direct to Tony, please, David. Okay, that's all we've got in the feedback section of the podcast. But as we've said a couple of times already, please send in your comments. It can be about anything concerning Dad's Army. Doesn't just have to be the things that we talk about. Moving on then, Tony, we're going to go into a new part of the podcast. We're not going to have our featured episode this podcast. We're going to move into our conversation or our interview with Paul Carpenter from the Dad's Army Appreciation Society.
Brilliant.
I'm joined now by Paul Carpenter of the Dad's Army Appreciation Society. Good evening, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Joe.
Thanks very much for spending the time talking to us this evening. Perhaps we can start just by asking you to tell us a little about the society, how you got started, where it's going, and so on.
Okay, pleasure. Hello, everybody. The society started a long time ago now. As it was a society as early as 1990, actually. Started by a chap in Exeter called David Lovering. He issued one magazine, and then people paid their subscriptions, then nothing further from him. And what happened then, Bill Pertry bought out his Making a Dad's Army book, and he got a lot of mail about people who wanted to join a membership, society of some sort. And he collated all these letters together and got in touch with a big fan by the name of Taj Muldoon, who was in Keighley in Yorkshire, and asked him if he'd start up society. Now, this was in 1993, some while back now. Mm-hmm. And Taj contacted all the names that Bill had given him. Well, I was one of them and several others. And we all joined. And that's how the society started. And he issued the first newsletter at the end of 1993.
Oh, wow. So it's and it's just grown from there, really.
It's grown from...
Wonderful. How many? Yeah. How many members?
At the time, there was only a few hundred, but currently we've built it up. We've got 1,500 plus at the moment, I think.
1,500 members. That's a significant increase, then.
It was. Yeah, there's a bit of a history behind that, which I can mention.
Yeah, sure.
But, what happened was Taj unfortunately died, and this left the society in a bit of a state. So. Mm. It was taken over by a retired civil servant called Jack Wheeler in 1995. And because of this, we had some debts to pay. Obviously, the newsletter wasn't paid and stuff like that, so we ended up with a bit of a debt. The way we decided to sort that out was to reduce the membership price, a bit of a gamble, I know, and encourage more people to join, and that seemed to work. And at the time, we had 300, and since Jack and myself got involved with it, and Tony Pritchard, who also runs the society with me now, we pushed it up to 1,500 with help of the web and other means of recruitment, I suppose.
Sure. Well, it's certainly a respectable number, I think, especially given that the show hasn't been, you know, on the TV in its original format for nearly 40 years. Yes, I can imagine. I can imagine. What does membership entitle to its members now?
Well, at the moment, we guarantee 4 newsletters a year, and now we've brought up to scratch the sort of colour newsletters now. And we try and get them to at least sort of 20 pages or so. And we also have a merchandise section. We also do reduced sales. Sorry, reduced sales through the BBC, reduced cost sales. We have members get-togethers. We have a society meal once a year. We try and arrange members' events. And we have the Bressingham do as well once a year. And our members are entitled to come along to that. What we try and do is make all these things self-financing, and obviously the society pays some of the cost as well, but members are obviously we try and keep costs down as much as possible.
Sure.
For these events.
Well, I mean, it's something that I've heard of over the years now. Never really made any active effort into going to try and find out a little bit more about the society, but my co-presenter Tony, who unfortunately is not able to be with us at this moment in time, has been a member for a good number of years, and he's the one who got me into the Dad's Army Days, the Bressingham events, which even for me now is becoming a fairly regular event over the last few years.
It's surprising how many people turn up year after year. I mean, it's the same sort of thing every year, but it's slightly different, but people come year after year. I think it's because people like to be with other people with the same interests, I think.
No, I agree. How long has the Bressingham event been running now?
Well, that opened in 2000, if my memory serves me right.
Okay.
We had the opening was in the 14th of May 2000,
right?
And that was attended by 5,000 of people, I think. And the previous day to that, we had the Dad's Army Day in Thetford, where we had a civic reception and a parade around the town with the vehicles, including Jones's van and, and the fire engine.
Yeah.
And the actual the whole of the square was cordoned off. You know, the town hall where they filmed some of the episodes. Civic hall, where it is. That was a fantastic day. We had a fly pass as well. So.
Oh, I can imagine. So it was quite an event, really.
It was quite an event. It was baking hot as well.
It's
a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, it's a shame. Sounds like a slight difference to the last one, unfortunately, because it was I was absolutely soaked.
Yes, you weren't the only one. It's the only one we've had that had rain. So we've been very lucky since 2000.
Sure.
Very lucky.
I mean, you seem also to be supported by a number of the cast. I mean, they turn up year after year, and you know, as I said, it was bad weather this year, and yet. And yet, they seemed remarkably cheerful, particularly Pamela Cundall and Eric Humphries, and Bill Pertwee is always good value. So it's really good that they're able to turn out each year.
Yeah, Bill's our president of the society, and Frank Williams is the vice president. He got his arm twisted to do that, which is quite nice.
Yes.
And Bill's very supportive of the society. He always gives us a mention. He does a lot for us behind the scenes, probably more than some people realise.
Sure.
And the cajoling, if we have an event, he cajoles some of the people to come along. Mm-hmm. And all the staff, they come along because they want to, and they contact us, a lot of them, before the event, saying, why aren't I invited?
So, well, that's the way you want events to run, really. So.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, Jimmy Perry contacted us this year and said, am I coming along to this event or what? So, well, of course you are.
No,
it's very nice.
They're all
very nice people.
Obviously, we're approaching the 40th anniversary next year now.
Yes.
Do you have any plans or something slightly different for next year?
Well, I've just got over the 30th anniversary event. But I'm at a 10th anniversary event as well. But yes, 40th. Yes, that's quite a landmark, really. Indeed. We have got some plans, but unfortunately I can't really say because nothing's been confirmed yet, and we don't want to sort of raise people's hopes early.
No,
we don't mention anything until we've actually sorted it out. We normally plan a year in advance for these events, so it gives you a guess around roughly what time of year it's going to be. And we have some ideas, but nothing's confirmed at the moment.
Great.
And Bill's going to be involved as well, and
great. So
everyone, hopefully.
So watch this space, really.
Yeah.
No, that'd be great. The other thing that's quite prominent in the news at the moment for Dad's Army, which is quite unusual, is the new stage play that's starting to tour the country in September.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you know, we had Ed O'Driscoll, the producer of the play, on the show a couple of weeks ago. He mentions the original productions that were put on in Tring, which
right.
I understand you had significant involvement in.
Yeah, slightly. I was involved with the first one, with Ian Gower, who wrote it, or adapted it, he didn't write it, but he adapted it for the small stage, and that done very well. And then I've always wanted to see the lost episodes, even shown on stage or something like that. So I got involved. I adapted two of the lost episodes, which was with Ian again, the Loneliness Long Distance Walker, and we did Under Fire, but also included some of the scripts from Strike for Fraser, for good measure.
Right.
And I tucked them in there. If anyone spotted them, if they came to see it, and we done them, and we used that performance one of the nights, or one of the afternoon performances, we used as Dad's Army Society convention, which Bill, Jimmy, well, a lot of them turned up. Brenda, Harold, Snow, Gordon Peters, Jeffrey Holland, they all turned up. We had done some interviews on stage with them as well, and they watched the play, and Jimmy being very supportive, he's very supportive of the theatre now, and he comes to see other things that we've done as well.
Nice.
So we've done Adolf Ottmar, and we did Heidi High this year.
Right, okay.
And they've all come to see that. So, yeah, so this new play is sort of... They did contact Ian Gower, who wrote it with me, and asked him his advice on some of how we approach some of the scenes, notably the walkers' external, you know, the keep fit bit when he runs around the fitness ground. And we approached it by filming it and then projecting it onto a screen. So
it's just replicating the location. But yes, it will be, I think. One of the things Ed said was the choice, obviously, of which shows to produce was partially based on the fact that two of these episodes were lost. I mean, what do you think of the choice of episodes? I mean, would you have preferred to have seen Under Fire performed instead?
Well, because we didn't do Strike for Fraser, that's quite nice that Strike for Fraser is being done. It's quite a simple episode. I did look at doing that one, but it's such a short episode. But I believe he's tying it in with the old favourite as well, The Deadly Attachment.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a disappointment to me, really, because that one's freely available. Because, I mean, the original one that Tring did had The Deadly Attachment and other bits and pieces in it as well.
Mm.
And that's been done all over the country at the moment. And it seemed a shame to include The Deadly Attachment when there's so many 80 to choose from.
I know it had
it's got the catchphrase in it and everything, but
I think it must have been chosen for that reason alone. To be fair, I think it's such an infamous line. I think I've said I compared that particular line with in a previous podcast to Del Boy falling through the bar.
Yes,
in Only Fools and Horses. It's absolutely iconic. Everyone's heard of it. Don't tell him, Pike. You know. And I think it adds a little bit of familiarity to the people who aren't aware that the other episodes are lost.
Obviously balances off the lost episodes, which nobody is familiar with at all. So I suppose as a balance for the evening, that probably makes a good choice.
Sure, but I understand what you're saying as well. As a Dad's Army fan, I would love to have seen some of the more obscure, or the ones that aren't shown on TV so often.
Yes.
But it's certainly something that I'm very much looking forward to.
Yes, I'm going around the country. It's the horse like a panto in Manchester at the end of it in December.
Yes, indeed. So it's got quite a long run.
It has, six nights a week.
Okay, so moving on from the stage play, you may have heard that we've mentioned the site a couple of times in previous podcasts, your website.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered whether or not you've got anything to mention to listeners concerning the virus alert that pops up every now and again.
That's frustrating more than anything else.
I'm sure.
The people that host the site, I contacted them as soon as I got alerted, because I'm not picking anything up, because I use an Apple, so I don't pick up any of these nasty viruses.
Right.
And I alerted them and copied in people's messages, all the codes that people were picking up, and they said, no, we can't find anything. And I said, no, there must be something. I forwarded some more information to them. They said, no, it's completely clear. And I thought, that's rubbish. So I took it off for a while and reloaded it all freshly, and that cured it for a short time, and something attached itself again. What I did, I delved deeply into the technical side of it. You know, you have control panels that you use to,
sure.
You know, to run your website. So I found a load of stuff dumped on there in folders I didn't produce, and I just removed all of those, and I'm hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll be clear, and I'll be checking it every week now.
Well, it certainly seems to be clear.
For anything that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems to be clear.
I know where to look now, so it's part of it is knowing where to look, and I'm going to go on there every so often.
It's good, because it is the definitive site, really, that you'll automatically go to if you have any questions or any you want to get any information about Dad's Army. Is one of the first things that pops up.
I don't update a lot of the information every week, because the information there doesn't change.
No, exactly, but it's a wealth of
news page I do and stuff like that. And I keep meaning to add, there's not enough time in the week really to add stuff to it, really. And you probably know yourself.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Lastly, then Paul, all I want to do really is give our listeners the opportunity to contact yourselves, or if they're interested in becoming a member of the Dad's Army Appreciation Society, what should they do in the first instance?
They can contact us on the website. It's www.dadsarmy.co.uk, and if they want to join, it's .uk/howtojoin.html, and that will come through straight to the joining page. The front page now, it's deadsarmy.co.uk/frontpage. We'll go on to the main page, and I introduced a director at the front to stop any viruses going any further than the front page. Mm-hmm. The introduction page, I should say.
Sure.
So I hope there's a bit of a buffer.
Okay, terrific. Well, thank you very much indeed for spending
your
time coming on the show.
Yeah.
No problem at all, and perhaps we can speak again on a future podcast.
That'd be fantastic.
Cheers. Thanks very much, Paul.
Cheers, bye.
Mr. Brown goes off to town on the A21, but he comes home each evening and he's ready with his gun.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Special thanks to Paul Carpenter from the Dad's Army Appreciation Society. Hope you enjoyed the interview with him. Paul, thanks very much for doing that for us. Also, thanks to Paul Thurston, who got in touch with us. Thank you very much for your feedback. And we note that you've asked for a discussion on Put That Light Out, and that is coming up very soon.
Indeed, yeah. We'll discuss that during the next podcast, whereby we may have a special guest to discuss that episode with us. So thanks again for tuning in. Please feel free to get in contact with us. Take a look at our website, which is www.dadsarmy.podomatic.com. Send us your emails, and we'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think old
This is just a little bit of extra news that Tony and I missed out of the regular news item, so I'm cutting this into the podcast after we finish recording most of it. There's a new DVD coming out, and we're not quite sure when it's going to be, but it's going to be called Dad's Army Resisting the Aggressor Down the Ages. And it looks like it's going to be a 3-disc release. The reason why this come to light is because the British Board of Film Classification had something on their website concerning the content of this release. It's a slightly complex link, so I'll put the link on our website, and you can click on it and then get onto the website directly from there. But it looks like there's going to be quite an intense look at various different things around Dad's Army. There's no mention of the Christmas special episodes, which is something that everybody was expecting. But by all means, take a look at the webpage. There's far more information on the webpage that I can talk about in this brief announcement. They've got all of the names of the special features, so it should give you a rough idea of what the content is going to be like. That really is all for this week, and like I said, please get in contact with us, and we'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks. Bye for now.